Welcome to the Sportscast, December 4th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, and Periscope. Hit the notification button on YouTube and Periscope. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Big news in sports today. One of the greatest coaches of my lifetime, at least, Urban Meyer, is retiring. He plans to step down and will coach his final game in the Rose Bowl. And he will be replaced by Ryan Day, the 39-year-old offensive coordinator who served as Ohio State's interim coach earlier this season. And to talk about it and elaborate about this whole situation in Ohio is Tyler Turner. Welcome to the Sportscast.
How are you doing?
So, Ty, you predicted this firing a couple of weeks ago or maybe a couple of months ago?
Firing?
No, sorry, his departure.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I predicted he was going to retire, yes. I'd seen it a couple places.
Do you think he was pushed out, or do you think he had health issues, or that incident back in August that really kind of pushed him out a little bit?
No, yeah, I don't think he got pushed out. Obviously, they're going to get rid of him. They would have gotten rid of him when that huge scandal went down. They decided to keep him, but I just believe he seemed super stressed out. I think he was agitated about the whole situation. I think he just no longer wanted to be the coach at Ohio State. And, yeah, I think he stepped away because of it.
How do you see the whole
thing? I mean, I don't know. I'm not Urban Meyer, so this is a subjective take from an outside viewpoint.
Were you a Urban Meyer fan? I mean, how do you view his legacy as of right now?
I mean, that's hard to say. If you're asking me if I was an Urban Meyer fan, did I like Urban Meyer? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a hard question to answer. I think he was a great coach. He was great at Utah, led them to an undefeated record, went to Florida, led them to two national titles, went to Ohio State, won three Big Ten titles, a national title, and two college football playoff appearances. The guy was a very good coach. He is a very good coach. His legacy is definitely going to be affected. He had a pretty controversial incident that ended up happening in Ohio State. Obviously, he got suspended 4 games, and ultimately has probably been a key component of him leaving. And at Florida, he had a lot of off-field issues with his players, and many thought that that might have been a factor in him eventually moving on from there. So there is some controversy surrounding him, but his results on the field speak for themselves. He's a great coach. I never disliked the manner in which he came across necessarily. The controversy, and I never liked his teams. I mean, I'm not an Ohio State fan. I'm not a Florida fan. I usually root against those teams. So, am I an Urban Meyer fan? Not necessarily, but do I think he's a good coach? Yes.
And Ryan Day, do you think he's a great, good replacement? Do you think they should have waited and maybe look out and see what's open? Or what are your thoughts about Ryan Day?
Urban Meyer is on the record saying he thinks he's ultimately going to be a better coach than both Tom Herman, the coach of Texas, and Dan Mullen, who's the coach of Florida and was a coach at Mississippi State. Obviously won national titles with both those guys as his offensive coordinator. He thinks Day's better. Day started with Chip Kelly. He was a GA under Chip Kelly. And then he eventually worked under Urban Meyer. So he's worked under two great coaches, especially great offensive minds. I think he's kind of going to be like a Lincoln Riley. And how's Lincoln Riley done? So,
potential,
yeah,
Packer coach.
I think he'd be pretty good. Potential. We'll see. We can talk about that in a minute.
We could. So now, obviously, you know, it's breaking news right now. Should Urban Meyer look elsewhere? Should he take a year off? Do you think this is it for him for coaching, or do you think he's going to coach another team in the near future?
Well, he stepped away before because of health problems, and he came back. He is only 34. Yeah, he's only 54. That's not that old. He definitely could coach longer age-wise, but maybe he won't. You've had other coaches step away and never come back. Remember Jimmy Johnson? He stepped away and never came back. So there's been, yeah, you just never know. Depends on the person. I have no idea, actually.
Urban Meyer is, maybe considered one of the best coaches in today's game. Overall, he's not at Nick Saban's level, I would think. He might be that second tier of coaching, but definitely in the history books of as one of the most important college football coaches.
Second tier as in what?
Like behind Nick Saban, you know, championship-wise, you know, Bear Bryant. I mean, what tier would you put him? Like up there with Nick Saban or not there?
You know what? I was thinking about this earlier. Nick Saban has pretty much, whether it's been at LSU or Alabama, has pretty much always had the number one ranked recruiting class. Urban has not necessarily. Also, Saban before LSU and before Alabama were Michigan State. Michigan State really didn't have any great teams. Urban Meyer was a coach of Utah. Utah finished undefeated, winning, I believe, that year the Fiesta Bowl, his final year. Nick Saban, I don't even know what his best record was at Michigan State, but I don't think he ever made it past like a Citrus Bowl. He also didn't have great seasons his first few years in LSU. Urban Meyer has had very few, maybe won his last year at Florida. I think go by consistency of percentage of being successful at every single place he's been. I actually think the overall percentage is higher for Meyer. And I think there's been times like in Utah, especially that he did not necessarily have the talent. And he pretty much used his coaching acumen to be successful. So I would not consider Urban Meyer a tier below Nick Saban. I think Nick Saban has been more successful at titles, but I also, and he's a great coach, and there's no denying that. But if you take away the fact that he's just a ridiculously good recruiter, and you put an Urban Meyer team and a Nick Saban team with exactly equal talent on the field, I think actually Urban Meyer has a winning record against Nick Saban, if I'm not mistaken. So he beat him in the playoffs when he was Ohio State's coach. He beat him in the SEC championship when he was Florida's coach, I think twice, if I'm not mistaken. So, I think if you break through the semantics and the statistics, and I would not call him a tier below Nick Saban. He's also 54. Nick Saban is 67. He's 13 years younger than Saban. He's won three national titles at 54. Saban maybe had won one. His first national title at LSU, I think, was 2003. That's 15 years ago. I think he had won one title, and Urban's won three at the same age. I wouldn't call him a tier below Nick Saban. I just wouldn't.
I guess, yeah, that's up to debate. Nick Saban had a record of 231 wins, 62 losses, and one tie. Urban Meyer had 186 wins and 32 losses. So it's obviously Nick Saban has more games under his belt, but we'll see.
Yeah, how many years has Nick Saban been a head coach?
He has been head coach for, I have to get back to you on that one, but Urban Meyer has been, I'm pulling up the stats and they just won't tell me right now, but. Yeah, it's
I think from what I'm counting, Nick Saban's been a head coach for 24 seasons, and Urban Meyer has been a head coach. I'm doing this with my hand, by the way. Urban Meyer's been a coach. Urban Meyer's been a head coach. 17 years. So he's been a head coach for 7 years longer. He's 13 years older. His more successful runs were at his two institutions that he had the ability to get greater talent. It's close. I think it's pretty even. I would consider them the same level. I mean, it's like apples to oranges. But if you compare the head-to-head and how, what they've done the same amount of time at the same age, I just wouldn't call it a tier below. So.
Okay. Have you heard of anything in the coaching rumor mill when it comes to college football?
College football. Well, yesterday at Louisville, Scott Satterfield from Appalachian State is now the head coach. Colorado was leaning towards Mel Tucker, but then it didn't get confirmed, and so they may be still looking. I know they're looking at my Oregon Ducks defensive coordinator, Jim Levitt. I also think they were looking at Mason from Vanderbilt. Another team that's still looking is Maryland. It's believed their main candidate is Mike Locksley from Alabama, the offensive coordinator. I don't know who else could possibly be in the running there. And then, obviously, my alma mater, Liberty University, opened up. Turner Gill retired because his wife having health concerns, a heart condition. And the immediate initial candidate in the forefront was Hugh Freeze. Obviously, he was implicated for sending messages to a escort service. So he did apologize publicly at Liberty University. So we will really see what comes of that. I'm interested to see. I think it's a more attractive job than it used to be because it's in the FBS now, no longer in the FCS. And they do have very good facilities. And so they'd be able to recruit probably some decent talent. And it's in a pretty good recruiting hotbed, meaning it's in Southern Virginia. You got all of Virginia. You also got North Carolina and South Carolina and possibly Georgia. So it's not a bad job. It's obviously independent. It's obviously an evangelical Christian. So it has its stipulations. But, you know, they're going to really pursue the job. And so to pursue to get someone good, I think other candidates will be Brandon Streeter. He is a quarterback's coach at Clemson. He is a former quarterback's coach while I was there at Liberty University. He also was the offensive coordinator for three seasons at Liberty and coached under Danny Rocco at Richmond. So he has an obvious connection to Liberty. And I don't know who else. I think those would be probably the two top candidates, Hugh Freeze and Brandon Streeter.
Would you go
Streeter would be the last controversial.
Would you go for a young coach, or would you go with a coach that has experience and that could put Liberty into a conference one day?
Who would I go for?
Yeah.
Or who do you think? Who do I think Liberty should go for?
Yeah.
Well, you have to go for someone that's a good fit there, someone who's going to be able to recruit there, someone who's obviously adheres to the evangelical Christian values of Liberty University. I think it'll be. I'm going to go on the record. I think it's going to be either Hugh Freeze or Brandon Streeter. That's who I think it's going to be.
They're both win-win. I mean, you would choose either one of them.
If you want to avoid controversy, I'd probably go with Streeter. Okay. If you want to go with the more experienced head coach, because Streeter's never been a head coach, I would go with Brandon. I would go with Hugh Freeze. I'm trying to think of a couple other candidates that might be out there.
Alabama's water boy.
It's an FBS job. I would maybe hit up Danny Rocco, the former coach that left. I don't know if he left in bad terms, though. But he actually left under a different AD. So it's a new AD. So I'd maybe hit up – he's a very good coach. My coach, my senior season, he was the most successful coach in Liberty history. He led them to, like, 3-4 conference titles. He then went to Richmond. He led Richmond to the playoffs twice, including the FCS semifinals. I know he just took a job at Delaware. But I would look at Rocco. I would also maybe take a look at Graham Harreld. He's the offensive coordinator for North Texas. He's kind of considered a rising star in the coaching profession. He's out of Mike Leach's air raid that Lincoln Riley came out of. Maybe I don't know. I'm trying to think of maybe some guy over there. I don't know. That's a couple. I could do some research and figure out a few more. But I think you'll be – I'm going to make an early prediction. I think it's going to be Brandon Streeter. No, it's because he used to be there. They know who he is.
Yeah.
I know there's a different AD, but I just – and he's a good coach, and he's a good recruiter. He's a recruiting coordinator for Clemson. So I think that's a good fit, and I'd like him to get it. He was a nice guy and a good guy. So it'd be nice to see him get the job.
Yeah, let's see what happens with Liberty. They're growing. Definitely had a – I think they had a 500 record season, I think. But they had, had a
– Yep, not bad.
Not bad for a first-year FBS team. And hopefully, hopefully things will get better. Better coach that might take us to the next level. I think that's key. And do you think they should probably eventually join a conference in the next couple years? Is that what's going to happen?
You know, I really don't know exactly how it's going to all work out. One thing I do know is – Liberty just wants to continue to grow. They want to continue to make a name for themselves. They get a lot of funding, obviously, from big donors, from especially the Christian community. It is the most powerful evangelical Christian school in America. It's the biggest evangelical Christian school in America. I don't know. I really don't know what they're doing. I would recommend them just to stay independent. Become like Notre Dame. They kind of are like Notre Dame.
What Notre Dame is
to Catholic. What Jerry Falwell wanted, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And, just keep on getting more talent. If they really can get a good coach in there that can be really successful and can really recruit, they could find themselves, beating the competition they are now, beating the New Mexicos, the New Mexico State, Elon, the teams that they played. And if they find themselves going 9-3, 10-2, then all of a sudden they start getting better recruits, even better games on their schedule against tougher teams, and all of a sudden Liberty, becomes like Notre Dame. I mean, it's kind of moving in that direction. It's amazing. In 10 years since I left, they were successful on the field. They have way better facilities, and now they are in the FBS. So it's definitely moving in the right direction.
Yeah, Liberty is definitely marching on. Back to coaches. Green Bay Packers fired Mike McCarthy this past weekend. It was kind of earlier than usual. Usually, the firings happen on Black Monday after the regular day season. You saw it coming. Were you surprised it happened this early?
Yeah, I was. But I remember after I saw them lose to Arizona, it's just pathetic. Arizona's terrible, and they lost at home. I'm like, you can get fired today. And literally, 20 minutes later, I heard he got fired. Because when I saw him say that, I'm like, he's going to get fired. So, he needed to go. I think he was long overdue. I think he was about 5 years overdue. So I'm glad they moved on and they can get a great coach in there. You have one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And I think it's an awesome situation to walk into.
And, who do you want for that position, that open position? Any names that you really like for this team?
Me?
Yeah.
Lincoln Riley.
Okay.
Lincoln Riley sure is my favorite. But is he the overall favorite? I'm not sure. I don't know if he's going to even take it. He's obviously still coaching in the college football playoff. Names that they're really looking at is they really are beating the old Josh McDaniel drum. Yeah, that's the one name that's probably getting the most headway right now. He's obviously been a former coach. He's done great as an offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. But, he had a disastrous last tenure at Denver. Last year he took the job for Indianapolis and then backed out last second. I don't know. He's not my cup of tea. There's some other guys out there. Names kind of – I know Brian Diablo, the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills. He was the offensive coordinator at Alabama, is a name. You're also hearing a Pat Fitzgerald, the head coach of Northwestern, Matt Campbell, the head coach of Iowa State, possibly even a John Harbaugh or even maybe a Jim Harbaugh. So you're hearing a lot of names, what direction they go. They definitely need to get a good offensive coach. You have a great quarterback. You need to be able to make that into a Super Bowl winning team. So someone who's able to really utilize all the talents that he brings. Who do I think it's going to be? I really don't know.
You have no favorites.
I really don't know. I'm just... Well, no, I already told you. I said Lincoln Riley.
Okay, Lincoln Riley's your favorite. Cool.
I said that right at the very beginning.
Okay, and what were your thoughts over the Alabama-Georgia game? Alabama won it last minute. What were your thoughts?
Great game. Awesome game. I think people got their viewership worth. I was saying money worth, but you don't pay for it. Terrific victory by Alabama. Terrible loss by Georgia. Kirby Smart does have to take some accountability. First off, the team lost a huge lead. And then he had a horrific 4th-and-11 go for it call when the momentum's going the other direction. I just don't know. I've seen it. I saw what he did last year in the national championship. I mean, good time. He's a great recruiter. He's built a good program there. I'm just wondering about his in-game coaching a little bit. I think the jury's still out on Kirby Smart. He's had a couple of times where he's lost leads. He's made some bad calls. So we'll see in long run if he can turn it around, because he definitely has the talent there. As far as Alabama, Tua did not play good.
No.
And I've been saying this forever. Obviously, I've been saying this on the sportscast. I think Tua, when you get pressure on him, he tries to do things that aren't there, and he makes mistakes. The key is getting pressure on him. If you can get pressure on him, there is a high probability he's going to try to make something there that's not there. And he has there's a gunslinger kind of mentality that he has that can be successful, but it also can be very dangerous. And the fact that he's not able to move as well, and he's still trying to do that, means you have to be able to tailor back your playmaking if you can't make the plays. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And a lot of look at the numbers he's had. Look at the video game numbers he's had. He had video game numbers on teams that had far, far less talent than the talent he was playing with. The games that he's played against teams that had better talent that's going to be playing on Sundays, Mississippi State, Georgia, LSU, his numbers aren't very good. I think I showed it to you. It's like 55% completion percentage, 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. And so I think the Tua hype train needs to maybe take a little bit of needs to slow down a little bit.
How'd you think?
There've been so much about him being maybe the greatest college quarterback of all time, the shoe-in number one draft pick in 2020, and I don't know. I'd be slow that train down a little bit.
What were your thoughts about the performance from Jalen Hurts?
Impressive, man. Came in, just showed that he's a real gamer, a real competitor. Brought them back to victory. He's always been a great runner. Made some big-time passes. I mean, he probably will be gone from Alabama after this year, but, man, awesome. He's very impressive, and impressed that he hung in there and he was able to make those plays.
Yeah, he definitely, came in. I was telling everyone in the chat, put Jalen Hurts at in the second half. Two out did not look good. At all. He was playing hurt. Now with this whole situation, Hurts had a good game. Do you think he should start for the game against Oklahoma?
Do I think he should start?
Yeah.
You mean if Tua is able to play?
Yeah, correct.
No. You can't bench. I mean, Tua still has had a great year. You mean bench Tua and play Jalen?
Yeah. I mean, for the momentum that he had, obviously, I don't know if Tua will be healthy 100% by then, but.
Yeah, I mean, but their chances of him probably being healthy in a month are pretty good, because he doesn't have any broken bones or any serious injuries. No, you can't bench quarterback because he got hurt and was having a bad game, even though he's had a very good year. There's no denying he's in New York for the Heisman finalists. I think Tua Tagovailoa is still a great player. When I comment on his being overrated, it's not about do I think he's a good player or not. It's the fact that people call him, I've seen analysts say he's the greatest college quarterback of all time. He's the head in the way. He's going to walk in. There's a number one draft pick. That means not that I don't think he's a good player, not that I don't think he is an extremely capable quarterback, and under no circumstances has he lost his starting job. No, that'd be asinine. He's the starter. You have a great backup in Jalen, but he's still a better overall quarterback than Jalen Hurts, no matter what happened at the end of the game. But Jalen is a very good quarterback in his own right, and a very good player. But when I say Tua's overrated, it means overrated, mean calling him the greatest quarterback of all time, saying he's a shoe-in number one, and when I don't think he's either of those two, that's overrated. Not that he's overrated, that he's the fact that he's still very good.
Yeah. Especially now that Jalen, you know, is ready to play in the second half, which they've done it a few times this past season, so they're definitely used to it, just to switch quarterbacks throughout the game. Heisman candidates for this weekend, obviously, we got Tua, we got Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins. Who do you think will win?
Oh, man. You know, actually, I don't know. Who would I vote for? I'd vote for Kyler. He kind of runs the ship there. I mean, he does have a great offensive mind calling the plays, but he's just been terrific. So I would say Kyler wins. I mean, sorry, I'd pick Kyler to win. I don't know who's going to win. Tua was way in the lead, but then Tua, you know, struggled, especially on the championship weekend. Kyler led them to victory and played very well. Dwayne Haskins led them to victory. I think Dwayne's third. Despite Dwayne having an amazing year, one of the best years ever statistically for an Ohio State quarterback, which is one of the most prestigious schools in college football, I still think he's third. I'm going to say I think Kyler Murray wins it, but it's close. I would vote for Kyler. I think he wins it, but it's really close.
Who's your second choice?
Tua.
Tua, yeah. It feels like he's definitely in the top two with Kyler Murray. I've been hearing Kyler Murray all week, but the proof is proof will be in the pudding this Saturday night, 8 p.m., live from New York on ESPN. We'll see what happens, even though Tua has another year to win it. So if he loses this year, he has next year.
Yep.
Kareem Hunt. Interesting situation. TMZ released a video of Hunt involved in an altercation with a woman in a hotel from the previous February. Later that same day, Hunt was placed on the commissioner's exempt list. Shortly after being placed on the exempt list, the Chiefs released him. How do you view the situation with Kareem Hunt?
I mean, can't strike a woman. Just not acceptable. If it's see, and you don't know what happened, you don't know the circumstances, it doesn't really matter. You definitely see him push a woman like he literally treated her like she was a big man and tried to attack her even more. People had to hold him back. So, yeah, he deserved to be punished the way he was.
Do you think like he'll come back?
Man, things are hard to come back. You know what? If he's repentant and basically serves his time, I think he should get another opportunity. I'm all in for redemption and forgiveness. Yeah. I'm a Christian, so we believe in that. And he has seemed to be repentant. He has seemed to ask for forgiveness. So I do think eventually he should get a chance, yes.
Yeah, it should be. We'll see the whole situation's kind of following. You know, there's some arguments that maybe Casey should have fought for it more, but when it's proof, you know, when you see these videos, it's just hard to come back from.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. College Bowls, Michigan State versus Oregon for the Red Box Bowl. Are you excited about that one?
Well, you know, I've been really pining for the holiday. But Oregon kind of did it to themselves. Unfortunately, the Pac-12 didn't get too into New Year's Six, and, you know, Utah probably had earned it. I guess the story behind the holiday was Holiday wanted to pick Oregon. The Pac-12 conference, actually, itself, the heads of the Pac-12 conference called and told them to take Utah because Utah had earned it by making the Pac-12 championship game, by having the third best record, I believe, in the Pac-12, and by beating Oregon in the head-to-head. So they ended up giving it. They basically vouched or lobbied for Utah, and Utah got it. So we go to the red box. It actually did kind of turn out well. It's actually closer. It's only an 8-hour drive from Eugene. And you're playing a Big Ten school. And honestly, between Wisconsin, Northwestern, Iowa, and Purdue, they're basically all the same. So you're basically playing the same level of competition at a bowl game that's actually closer to your university on the same day, on New Year's Eve. So in a lot of ways, to turn out not so is win. Because, for one, the schedule came out today. Their schedule next year is much tougher. They play USC on the road. USC will be better. They have Cliff Kingsbury as OC. He got hired today. They have Washington, the defending Pac-12 team, on the road. They play Auburn on the road to start the season at Jerry's World. So they have a much tougher schedule next year, and we still don't know what Justin Herbert's going to do. There's a lot of people inside Oregon say Herbert's staying. I do find it odd that first of all, there was a report that he's not even looked for an agent. There's also the fact that he is playing in the game. He even got hurt, and he's still supposedly going to play. So that all these facts seem to lean that Herbert's coming back. And when people, how can you turn down $30 million being the first quarterback chosen? And I think he doesn't believe he's ready. Like, how? Do you worry about being ready? But Herbert is a different guy. The guy has a 4.06 GPA and is a biology major. Biology is known by most to be one of the toughest majors at college. It's just a very difficult major. You have to be very smart.
It's almost pre-med.
You have to be. It is pre-med. It is pre-med. Biology is a pre-med major, just for the record. If you major in biology, it's pre-med. So his goal is to be a doctor. His goal is to go to med school. Well, he has a 4.06. He has the highest GPA of anyone in the conference.
Wow. That's saying a lot.
No one in the Pac-12. That's talking about guys from Stanford. That's talking about guys from Cal. That's talking guys from UCLA. Those are three of the better institutions in America. And he has a higher GPA in a pre-med major. So he is a very good student. And he might really want to finish off his degree. And to everyone else, like, who cares? Well, he clearly takes school a lot better. If you're the highest Pac-12 GPA for a Pac-12 football player out of thousands of kids, many of them going to three of the most prestigious institutions in the Pac-12, this kid's a very good student. And that cannot be taken lightly. So between that and the fact that he maybe isn't just ready, I really don't think he's leaving. Actually, I'd be shocked if he leaves. I think Justin Herbert comes back next year. And because of that, I think guys like his receiver, Dylan Mitchell, two-time All Pac-12 linebacker and three-year starter, Troy Dye, his two All Pac-12 offensive linemen, Calvin Throckmorton, Shane Lemieux, and Jake Hansen. They're all six, like, guys that will probably go in like the fourth to seventh round. They're like middle to late round picks. But I think the fact that Herbert's coming back, I think is going to do a trickle down effect. I'm not just saying this off of subjective. I've actually read in a couple different reports by Oregon beat writers that more than likely and even Dylan Mitchell himself said when interviewed, he said, it'll probably depend on Herbert. That's what he said. It'll probably depend on Herbert if I go pro. So the fact that there's a pretty good chance they actually return everyone. And technically they're returning six NFL talent, including a first-round quarterback. So despite the tough schedule, Oregon's going to be ranked really high. But they'll need to win next year because it's already affected recruiting, not having quite as good a year. They've had two decommits, and they're supposed to have two more this week. So it's four guys decommit from the 2019 class. So they have to keep winning or else, you know, you're going to lose some momentum. And if it goes the wrong direction, you don't get the players, you're not going to win. And eventually you end up removing the coach. So the coach really needs to make sure that next year, if he happens to bring Justin Herbert back and other guys, he has to go out and win 10, 11 games and either play for the Pac-12 title, win the Pac-12, go to the playoffs, whatever it is. He has to make it happen. But next year is a much tougher schedule because if Herbert and those guys left, I don't think they would have that good a year. If Herbert happens to leave, I'm going to go on the record thinking they're going to be about a 6-16.
Now for Oregon,
so they need to win.
What are their expectations to finish in the top 10?
Next year?
Yeah.
Ask that question again.
What expectation do you expectations that you have for Oregon to finish off next year? Should they finish off in the top 10? Is that satisfactory?
Well, I said if everyone comes back,
yeah.
If everyone comes back, so just so you know, so you don't have to. If everyone comes back, even with the tough schedule, they need to finish 10, 11 victories, which would put them in the top 10.
Okay.
They need to pay for a pack to, if everyone comes back. If Herbert and all those other guys leave and majority of their team is freshmen and sophomores, no, they're not going to finish top 10. I actually don't think they're going to finish in the top 25. I actually think they're going to be about 6-6. That's too tough a schedule. UCLA, USC on the road, USC will be better. Washington, the Pac-12 champion on the road, they've only lost one game in 3 years at home. Stanford, Auburn, first game of the season at Jerry World, they're going to lose some of those games. Arizona State, who's going to be better, they're bringing most people back. So they're going to have a much tougher schedule next year, and if they lose their key players, they're going to – a year next year. No, I'd be shocked if it is, actually.
And what'd you think about the Pac-12 championship game between Washington and Utah?
Yeah, not a very exciting game. It was actually very, very boring. Not an exciting game. Very boring.
Yeah, it was definitely not the most enlightening game of the weekend, but obviously everyone was eyeing on Alabama and Georgia, which, by the way, Washington beat Utah 10-3. That's why everyone's saying it's boring. So, anyways.
It was very boring.
You probably watched the whole thing, didn't you?
No, I didn't. Okay. I was out with the family.
That's better.
I hardly watched any of it.
That's better time. Anyways, anything else you want to talk about?
Let me go through this. You got playoff, talked about that. Bowl games, talked about that. Oregon Bowl, recruiting. I kind of touched on recruiting a little bit. Herbert, Green Bay. I think we have pretty much all the bases covered.
I've done my homework. I did everything I needed to do to cover this show.
Yeah.
And that leads us to predictions. Are you ready?
Yep.
We're going full NFL because all the college games are done. Well, there is an Army-Navy game.
We're not going to do playoffs?
Well, not yet. I mean, we got 3 weeks to think about this.
Okay. I hear it.
Navy at Army.
I guess Army. Army's better than right now. So Army.
Okay. Jacksonville Jaguars at the Tennessee Titans.
Titans.
Panthers at the Browns.
Panthers aren't playing very well. We'll go Browns.
Browns, okay. This is a key game. A lot of people have been talking about it so far. Ravens at the Chiefs.
Chiefs.
The Colts at the Texans.
Texans.
The Patriots at the Dolphins.
Patriots.
Giants at the Redskins.
Giants. Redskins have too many injuries. They're at their third string quarterback, Mark Sanchez.
Yeah. Colt McCoy also broke his leg, just like Alex Smith.
Yep.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
The Falcons at the Green Bay Packers.
Packers are kind of closing up 10. But, they might come out for their coach. Falcons aren't playing very well. I'll say Packers.
Typically, when I see a new coach coming in right in the middle of the season, the team plays better for some reason. So,
but I do not want them hiring that guy. There's been a couple reports that he might get that he could possibly be a candidate. I do not want Joel Philbin.
Yeah,
he was the Dolphins coach.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he's not a good coach. Do not,
Yeah,
keep him as like a offensive coordinator.
He's a good coordinator. Yeah. Well, no. I want a better coordinator too. No.
The New York Jets at the Buffalo Bills.
Man, they both stink. Bills.
Broncos at the Niners.
Broncos.
Eagles at the Cowboys. This is a key game.
Yeah, Eagles playing a little better, but Cowboys playing a lot better. Yeah, I'm going to go with Cowboys. It's been pretty good.
By the way, was Carson Wentz good in college?
He's very at North Dakota State?
Yeah.
Well, he's very good, yeah. When he could stay healthy. He had problems staying healthy. But when he was healthy, he won a couple national titles.
Oh, wow. Did not know that. Rams at the Bears.
You didn't know that?
No, I did not know that. I following more college football these past 2 years, so definitely...
Okay.
You're more historical. Yeah. Anyways.
Did you know anything about him in college?
No, nothing.
Oh, okay.
Anyways. You knew a lot about Blair, the guy from the Bears, the starter. You were like, you knew, like, because he came from Florida, you were telling me.
Trubisky?
Blair Daniel, I think. Bears quarterback.
Chase Daniels?
Yeah, Chase Daniels.
No. He's
starting right now, still, because Trubisky's still injured.
Because Trubisky's hurt. No, he's not in Florida. He went to Missouri.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
He went to Missouri. Yep.
Rams at the Bears.
Rams are pretty good. Bears are tough to play at home, and they're kind of been not playing well, but they might want to come back. And I don't think the Bears are going to upset them, actually.
Okay.
Is Trubisky back?
No.
For sure not back?
As far as I know...
I thought he was supposed to coming back. Hold on, let me look this
up. So, if he does start, they win. If he doesn't start, they lose.
Hold on, he's getting better and he's feeling better. He's out versus Giants. He threw again the field, two games. Schultz was limited participant. Will be working fully this week. He's getting better. The next couple of days go by that. He might be.
So if he was starting, they will win.
Yeah, and he probably wasn't, and he probably is going to have trouble pulling off the upset. But I'm going to say he does, and we'll see if they're going to pull off the upset.
And finally, Minnesota at Seattle.
Seattle's playing pretty good.
Yeah.
They're playing a lot better. I think Seattle wins. It's a tough place to win.
And random question of the day, when was the last time you went to the movie theater?
I went to the movie theater over Thanksgiving. I don't go a ton, but I did go over Thanksgiving.
There you go. And okay, good. Sounds good to me, Tyler.
What movie did I see? What movie did I see? Oh, kids' movie, Dr. Seuss.
Was it good?
I didn't really watch it. I was sitting on my phone the whole time.
Movie theaters is not enough. Anyways,
no.
Tyler, how can people debate you on the internet?
Tyler Turner, MTLS. I got in a debate with Stuart Mandel yesterday.
How'd they go?
He took a shot at Liberty, and I told him off for it. And then he tried to defend it, and I'm like, come on, dude. Show a little journalistic integrity. He's a big journalist. He heads up the Athletic, which is a good sporting
platform. That's right. You discussed that. Yeah, which you got to pay for that, don't you?
You have to pay to be on there. It's $40 a year.
Yeah, I heard it's like a Silicon Valley publication or something.
Probably, but it has very good writers. It's like Bruce Feldman and Tyson Alger, and I mean, a lot of very good journalists. So that's why I got it. But
Ty is in the loop with sports. He's in the forums that no one can actually get onto. And
they can. You can get onto the Athletic. What are you talking about?
You know everything about coaching rumors, recruiting rumors. You're in the loop.
Well, I talked to the guys. Okay, if you want to know how I'm so much in the loop with the coaching, I I talked to Scott Roussel of Football Scoop.
There you go.
I gave him a scoop once upon a time for Oregon, and I now like talk to him. He gives me some heads. He gives me some heads up.
If Liberty gave you a football assistant coach offer, would you take it?
To be like a GA or something. Yeah, I want to kind of move back to the East Coast, so yeah, I probably would.
There you go. Yeah. Anyways, if anyone from Liberty is listening to this, Tyler is in the market for it. Anyways, if you haven't yet, please subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, and Tyler, appreciate it for you being on the Sportscast.
I do. Thanks for having me.